Blog Talk Radio.
Beyond the Benches Radio Show with Melissa Fiore and Tia Priest. BeyondTheBenches.com. We are more than just hockey news.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Benches Radio. We are back from vacation, and also returning, super excited about, is my lovely co-host, Tia Priest. Welcome back, Tia.
Hi, how are you? Welcome back. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, all of those holidays all in one.
I know, we've been gone for a little bit, so we did miss all of that, so yeah. What's going on?
Well, since it's New Year's, I wanted to talk about some of our resolutions. We're girls, so we make these New Year's resolutions, I'm sure. So I want to hear some of yours that you made, and we can talk about it. And then maybe we'll see, like, halfway through the year or whatever, like, how far we are with them, if we're going to be actually keeping them. So what's your first one?
I hate this topic, just FYI. I hate New Year's resolutions. I set goals for myself like all throughout the year, so just kind of having them at the start of the year is not a huge thing for me. I guess top goal right now is to really and we've talked about this before, to really like promote the website and kind of get back going on where we started with and really get to where, you know, taking that next step with the site and doing all that good stuff.
That's your top one? All right, so yeah. That's number one. What about your, I mean, I feel like that's an awesome resolution, so yay for that one. What about your second one?
I mean, I guess also, like, the typical, like, eating healthy and all that good stuff.
I'm all about that right now. So, yes, I've decided I'm going to lose 14 more pounds. That is my New Year's resolution. It was 15, and now I have 14 more to go.
I am counting them down. What's another one?
Another one is to bring white into my color palette. That I feel like this is really girly, and I'm sorry for all the guys listening right now, but I am going to start wearing more white in my wardrobe because red has been a really strong staple for me at the end of the year, so I'm going to start fading in a little bit of white, and I feel like that represents Canada well because I'm already red on point with my redness. So fade a little bit of white in there, and it's going to be red, white all the time. And those are going to be, like, my main color palettes, like, wardrobe selection.
That's actually a different one. Like, you don't hear that too often. So I'd say that's a pretty creative and good one.
Everybody always wears black, and I am so over black. I live in Florida. Like, I need to bring some white in. That's all.
Yeah, especially being down in Florida.
Yeah. So I feel like those are some of my resolutions, which are both very girly. Oh, and then finally I have another one that I have been back out on the golf course because that is my top resolution, is to be able to go out on the golf course and kick all the boys' butt. So
that's a good one.
I mean, it's going to take me a lot of effort to get back in the swing of things because I had this terrible shoulder injury, but I've been out back on the links. I'm out of the driving range. I'm going to be better than all the boys. Be scared.
I should add on to mine is that to go golfing more than just once. So the past two seasons, I've only been out once per season. And obviously our seasons are a little different up here in Boston. It's not going to wait till the nice weather kicks in. But, I definitely need to get out more often, for sure.
I mean, once? More than just one?
Yeah, I know.
I think I was out three times last week. I don't know what to say.
I mean, like I just said, it's a little easier for you down in... So I think the only part of the country right now that has decent weather is Florida. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. I mean, I definitely think you can hold up to that bargain because one time for your whole season, you can at least get out there twice. I feel like that's a good
I go to the driving range a bunch, but actually playing nine holes or something, it's a little harder.
18. Okay, well, 18, how about we share for twice for 18 holes?
Okay.
I know, it's going to be a challenge. I think you can make some room for it. So
Hopefully I can fit it in. Actually, the next couple weeks are going to be super busy for me. I'm actually really, really excited because next weekend, I'm going to New York City for the first time. So, like, I can't believe myself that I've never been to New York City, but I'm going, and I'm so excited. I'm going to be a total tourist for 2 days and love every minute of it. And then a couple weeks after that, I'm heading to Columbus for the All-Star Game, so I'm really super excited about that, too.
So I'm really excited for you to go to the All-Star Game. That one I am really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. We actually... I got some passes to go to a few of the NHL parties that are there, and I'll be at the game and then the skills competition and all that kind of stuff that's going on. So, really excited.
Yeah. That'll be a really good time. I'm excited for you to go to New York City. I mean, I never, ever really want to go there, but I'm excited for you to go.
Really?
No, I just feel like the people are so mean. And they're just walking down the street all, like, I don't know, aggressive. And I'm not really like that. Oh, and I forgot one of my other New Year's resolutions because I just made it to it this morning. Is to be nicer to strangers.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about one, too. I have a lot of resolutions, actually, now that I think about it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like more come up, like, throughout the year, too. Like, definitely...
Yeah.
More and more things.
I don't know. Well, I just feel like when you have a random person come up and start talking to you, I really don't talk to them very much, but I'm going to try harder to be nicer to them.
I do think that is a good resolution. I think everyone should be like that, because if everyone was just nice and pleasant, you don't have to be, like, over the top, but if you're nice and pleasant to someone that you don't know when they're talking to you, it can go a long way.
Yeah, that's what I think. And plus, you never know. Like, it could be, like, a long-standing friendship that you just happen to have this random person come talk to you on the beach one day. You never know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm going to try harder. I can't promise, but I'm going to try harder.
All you can do is try.
Exactly. So, All-Star Game. Excited for some pictures, some reports, some news articles. See what's going on there. What's going on for the show this week?
For the show this week, we've been away for a few weeks, so there's plenty to catch up on all around the hockey world. We're going to be joined by George Pusikas from Puck Rant. He's going to talk a little Washington Capitals and Vancouver Canucks.
I'm actually interested to hear what's going on with Puck Rant, because I know that we had talked to them too before, so we should ask them a couple questions about what's going on with that website, because I know they do a radio podcast too, or several of them or something, so I really want to hear more about that. And then, as always, we're going to be joined by James. He's going to be talking off the glass in his segment, making a hot or not list, and then we're going to talk predictions for the week, so we have a lot to catch up on. So let's get this show started, rock and roll.
Let's get it started is right. All right, so some of the recent stuff that's going on in the NHL, of course, was the big Winter Classic that just happened. We'll go into a little more details about the team, the Capitals, that ended up taking the victory in that over the Blackhawks a little bit later when George is on. But it was not only quite the game, it was quite the event. If you just saw some of the pictures that, you know, not only like the NHL was posting, but the teams, there was a whole transformation done. Not only that, they scored the winning goal 12 seconds left, and just the whole atmosphere itself. I've been to an outdoor game before, so it's really cool. So it's cool to see that. And it all seemed pretty awesome. Did you get to watch the game?
I feel like I was watching Canada versus U.S., I think, that day. I feel like that's what I was doing, so watching the Winter Classic. But I did catch like a part of it during intermission. But my question really is, like, number one, I know you went to the Winter Classic before. For me, aren't you just freezing?
Yeah. 100%, yes. I mean, it looked a little... The one that I went to, into the Stadium Series game last year, and that was, like, totally different circumstances. It was kind of like the Winter Classic from last year because it was snowing out, it was cold, but then, like, on top of that, it was in Chicago, so it was super windy, and, you know, I had multiple layers on. I had those little things you can put in your gloves to keep warm. It's definitely cold. But the whole atmosphere, I experienced more of the tailgating scene at the game I went to compared to some of the other fan things. But just some of the fan things that they offered at the Winter Classic this year looked pretty cool.
So do you think this year's game or last year's game was better?
I mean, last they were good in their own right. Last year's, it was kind of, you know, record-setting because it was at the Michigan Stadium, so there's so many people there and, you know, broke that record. And just the whole thing of, you know, the nostalgia of playing outdoors and, you know, having it snow and kind of that whole thing. It was, that was good in its own right. But I've heard that some of the rink that they made this year for the Winter Classic was probably the best that they've made just because the conditions were so good. It was kind of warm in a few days leading up to that. We've been up and down with weather up here on the East Coast, but it looked like glass. Like, if you looked at it, it looked like the perfect ice was on there. So, in that sense, I thought this one was pretty good, too.
All right. So, another big event that's taking place right now in my home country, it's split between Quebec and Toronto, is World Juniors. Woo-hoo. So, one of the big surprises for me really was to see Finland and how they performed, and they're out of the tournament. How do you feel about that, Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised, and we also have talked about this before. Like, did they win gold last year?
Yeah,
so to go from winning gold to, you know, being knocked out is not the typical route that you want to go. But they have some good players on there, I know, that are going to go back to other teams. So a little surprised at that. Not surprised to see Canada steamrolling everyone, though.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about that, and I'm sure everybody back home is, too. They're actually playing, I believe, today at 8 o'clock. One of the big things that I think is actually really surprising is actually the lack of attendance at some of the games. I have seen tickets on StubHub for previous games. Like, basically anything, if it wasn't a Canadian game, ticket sales, to me, like, looking at the stadium and, like, being on StubHub, you can get tickets for, like, $5.
What?
So, yeah, did you notice that?
No, I mean, I haven't been looking, but...
Well, yeah, I'm obsessed with StubHub because I always like to see, like, if tickets are going for so much money or they're going above resale prices and whatnot. And the way that World Juniors had worked for this tournament is that they had opened up call to players and family a long time ago. And they gave you a deadline to get your, like, discounted prices. But you were buying in groups. You weren't able to buy in single, like, games, like you were like buying in packages for our family and ticket, like previous players and stuff. And then you were given the opportunity to be enrolled. Like if you weren't part of that group, you were given the opportunity to be put your name on a list, like on online. You submitted your information online to be put in a rally, like a, maybe that's not the word, but like a drawing to have first come, first serve on ticket packages. And again, it wasn't single ticket sale packs, like single games. It was like groups. So it's not like you were spending like $100 because you were buying like multiple different games and like different packages. And then they had done that for a long time. Like I had put my name in a list even for when Canada hosted again in 2017 already. So you had to be a resident of Canada to be able to do it. Thank you to my grandparents for allowing me to do that. However, but so I think that is like a big problem on the way they just opened up the way they were selling tickets. So, I mean, did you, like, notice, though, that even, like, lower bowl, like, ticket, I don't know if you've been watching it, but, like, there's lots of empty seats if it's not a Canada game. I thought I was very surprised about that.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't even think it was full for even, like, some of the Canadian games that
No. So, I think that is very surprising, especially because of all the hype that goes around World Juniors. And the fact that they sell out weekly, like, they, you know, so what's going on there? I'm not sure if they really need to reevaluate the situation for 2017 when it comes back, or the fact that it has something to do with, like, splitting the arenas, like, not just in Toronto, it's in Toronto and Montreal, so the guys are even shuffling back and forth. I feel like that's a big problem, too, and it's, like, splitting the diversity and, like, the culture of it, but what can you say?
Yeah,
it happens.
Definitely something that, you know, I think it's good to offer the group packages a little bit, but then maybe only to a certain time point, and after that you can kind of go game by game, especially after, like, the preliminary rounds.
You can get single tickets now, and especially, like, I would... Like, after seeing the prices on stuff, I wouldn't purchase, like, tickets, like, to the group. I would wait to go on StubHub. That's just me.
Right.
Just me. I love some StubHub. So,
I'm the same way. I get a ton of stuff off StubHub.
Yeah. So, one game I wanted to talk to you about is actually the U.S. game when they lost to Russia, because I mean, lots of tweets about how there was no miracles that day. Did you watch
it? Yeah,
that?
There was. I watched some of it. I was actually away for New Year's this year. I was up in the boonies of New Hampshire, of the Great White North, not that far north, but so it isn't great internet access and stuff up there. But I was able to watch some of the game, and from what I saw also on Twitter, it was very lackluster. You know, some leadership and kind of stuff along those lines. So, a little disappointed that my country was eliminated, but
next year.
I guess I'm gonna next year, and I guess I'm gonna have to root for Canadians now.
Exactly. There's no problem with that over here.
So. This past week, there are a couple of injuries that were kind of a little gruesome. First up, we had Michael Delzato of the Philadelphia Flyers taking a skate to the neck. And if you haven't seen the pictures, there's plenty of them on Twitter and the internet. So if you can stand looking at that kind of stuff, go check them out. And then Claude Giroux took a skate to the back of the leg, just like Eric Carlson did a couple seasons ago. Did you see any of those? Did you look at any of the pictures?
I try actually not to look at those type of pictures.
Yeah.
Just because it's not really, like, great for me, but, I mean, are any of them out? How long are they out, do you know?
Michael Delzato, actually, it happened early on in the game, and it wasn't too bad. It was a pretty kind of just, like, open wound on the side of his neck. Super lucky, though, because obviously taking a skate, so that can be very dangerous.
Right.
But he ended up getting, I don't know how many stitches, or I think close to 20 stitches, and he ended up coming back in the game and playing. So he is not out for any length of time. And then I believe Claude Drew ended up coming back the next game. His after what happened a couple seasons ago with Erik Karlsson and, you know, him severing his Achilles after taking a skate to the back of the leg, I think they've had a lot more precautions with some of the different style socks that they've been wearing, and not just socks, but there are a few different things that they have and offer now that kind of protect players in that instance. And I'm, as far as I know, I think Claude Drew had that on, so it kind of helped him a little bit. But yeah, definitely some chances to have some serious injuries with that.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what I like to see. A guy who can take decisions and come back out on the ice. All for that.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of like the ongoing thing is that hockey players, you know, take a skate to the neck and come back and finish the game. But, like, LeBron James twists his pinky finger and has a hangnail and is out for 3 weeks. So it's a...
There's a little bit of a difference.
All right, so I know that you are in the heart of the ECHL down there, especially being with the Everblades, who are having a pretty great season this year. What's going on down there?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to bring up one injury because we're talking about injuries. Last year's league MVP from Orlando Solo Bears, Nicky Lang, sliced his arm, all the tendons in his arm, so he is out for 8 months, or AKA the rest of the season, rehabbing that situation. So I feel like that's a huge blow to any Orlando Solo Bears, like, player, team, fan, coach, like, because losing last year's league MVP, poor guy. But other than that, I mean, That I feel like was the biggest news out of the ECHL. Lots of call-ups, lots of call-downs. Lots of people I'd like to see back with Florida, but doesn't seem to be happening. York just came back last night. So they picked up the W. They put Isles on reserve because they also got Altschreier back in net too from his call-up. So basically that's the news in the ECHL.
It's a big loss with Mickey Lang going down. Like,
yes.
Big time. He was having a good year, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, really good year. So that was a sad day. Thankfully, like, he's all right. He had surgery, you know, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I feel like those flukes, and I don't know, did you see, like, the play, how it happened? Did it happen on the ice, or?
It did happen on the ice because it was with a skate. So I did ask that exact same question myself because and I got a response like, what do you mean? Where else would it have happened? That was my response when I asked that question. But
it happened a couple of seasons ago, and I think it was for the Oilers. I can't remember who it was. It was one of their young guys. It was like, he just got traded, and I totally can't think of his name right now. Sam Gagne. I think he was sitting on the bench and he had his arm up on the board and he had his glove off for some reason. And someone went to hop on the ice like during play and ended up, you know, and they sweep their legs over the board and they sliced
his arm.
And
that's how it happened.
Can happen off the ice.
My thinking is that, hey, maybe somebody was sharpening skates. And it accidentally, he was standing there, and his arm was right there. It could happen lots of places. But when I asked, I got looked at like, okay, yeah, of course it was on the ice. All right, so moving on. At least we both think alike, Melissa, just saying.
I know, we do.
Yeah. Okay, so it might not have been a big surprise, but we found out who's going to be the first six players that are heading to the All-Star game this week. And I got a bone to pick about this anyway. So we got five Chicago Blackhawks. Taves, Kane, Seabrook, Keith, Crawford, and the winner. Was there any surprise? Gergensen from Latvia, from Buffalo. My first problem with this is that all those people who are snowed in from the Buffalo snowstorm had nothing better to do than click the computer. My second problem with this is that I believe this was trending in Latvia on Twitter on how they were so excited that they got him into the All-Star game. How do you feel about this, Melissa?
Yeah, so this is actually something I wanted more of your opinion on, because I think we talked about it on one of the shows that you weren't on, is should there be unlimited voting for people, or do you think it should only be, like, limit? Like, yeah, I know you get a limit of 10 votes a day, but there are people out there and fans that just sit there and do it every day.
I think that there should be a limit amount of votes. I don't think 10 votes per person per day is appropriate to vote somebody into. Not only okay, yes. Number one, my first problem is with the Buffalo people. Because if you live in Buffalo, for all my Buffalonians, I love you very much, but you are not sitting out on the beach right now, are you? Like all the people in Florida. You were sitting at the computer clicking. Click, click, click. That's what you were doing. The second thing is all of Chicago Blackhawks fans who are crazy and love their people so much. Yes, I do have my own issues with Blackhawks, but you as well are not golfing right now, were you? You are sitting at the computer because we have sunny weather down here and you have nothing better to do than be cooped up in your house.
Okay, so you're saying that. You're saying that people that live in the warmer climate have more to do because the weather is nicer, but people that live in the colder climates because they don't have anything else to do but vote?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And for somebody who has lived in Canada and was actually just up there 3 weeks ago and caught pneumonia, I do not want them out of the house either. So, what would you rather be doing? It is so cold, you can't go outside. Okay, literally in Buffalo at that time, when he started to get the number one voting position, that's when they had that snowstorm. And then a few days later, he was on top of the leaderboard, like crazy. Okay, nobody from Florida is sitting inside from a snowstorm. We're out doing stuff.
No, so Jonathan Huberdeau isn't getting the top vote getters. Because his fans are out sipping margaritas on the beach.
It's true. Or we're playing golf. Or we're lounging
or
by the pool.
Golf.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry if that's, you know, the weather has something to do with this. But I do blame a little bit of this on the weather. And I understand that Florida teams may not have a fan base as northern teams do from somebody who is Canadian. I get it. I definitely get it. But and also to see five players from one team be voted into the All-Star game for, like that. They were, like, point leaders, right? Like, who was second? Do we know? Do I know?
I think it was Kane. I think Kane was second.
All right. Well, either way, I feel like there has to be some sort of, like, block on this. They need to reevaluate this in some way. And I'm not saying maybe divide it up by location. Maybe they could, you know, put it by division and maybe do it some way like that to break it up a little bit. I'm just saying we're at a disadvantage because we would rather be drinking margaritas on the beach than sitting inside from a snowstorm.
I think the biggest thing is just that it came from the Buffalo Sabres, like a team that is by far one of the worst teams in the league, that you have a top vote getter coming from that team.
Yes.
So I think that's
where the... And I promise you, that is what happened. I promise you, because that snowstorm hit, and then he was at the top of the leaderboard. So snowstorm, you should be thanking yourself
for
him.
You're totally right, because it was right after that snowstorm that he started getting catapulted to the top of the league.
Yes. Yes. So that is my stress level on the All-Star game. I don't like that. It's like the longest vent because we're over here drinking margaritas and you guys are, you know, busy. But anyway, I think that we should take a quick break and be right back because I think our first guest is going to be on shortly.
Me not working hard. Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak. Or better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak. My life from negative to positive. I just want you to know that. Just enjoy life. Pitbull, Naya, Neo. That's right.
Listening to Beyond the Benches Radio Show.
Juicy Star!
With Melissa Fiore and Tia Priest.
That is going wild!
Go!
Welcome back, and before we move on to our first guest, let me give you the number to call in because we'd love to hear and talk to you. So it's 646-200-4047. If you didn't have a pencil and pen, let me give it to you again. It's 646-200-4047. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Melissa, do we have our first guest on the line?
Hello?
We sure do. Oh. So joining us is George Pistigas from who covers the Washington Capitals as well as the Vancouver Canucks at puckrant.com. Thanks for joining us, George. How's it going?
Hey, how are y'all? Hello?
We're doing great. So we want to start out and kind of have to start out, especially if we're going to talk about the Capitals, about the Winter Classic. So what an ending to that game, and I want to know what your thoughts were on the Caps win.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was there. The Capitals, it was a fantastic environment. They did a wonderful job as the host of the event, and the crowd was amazing. The NHL really did a good job decorating the event. It really didn't seem like it was in a baseball stadium. The way they had it all decked out with the hockey rink in the middle, it was very special, and I was very happy I could be a part of it.
Yeah, so what were some other things that they offered? We just talked about it a little bit, but obviously neither Tia nor I were able to take in the event. So what were some of the things that, like, were available to fans to kind of do or at the arena or field?
Well, they had the Spectator Plaza kind of set up outside the gate area before the event, and they had all kinds of different, like, you know, little bands performing, and they had all kinds of, like, shops and events for kids and all that type of stuff. The main thing with it is the – put on a lot of different things that the fans could interact and buy a lot of stuff. I mean, it was really – well put in everything, so.
All right, awesome. Definitely, if you haven't been to a outdoor game before, definitely have to try and add that into your bucket list. So the Caps right now are at both ends of the spectrum when it comes to special teams. Fourth in the league on the power play and 25th in the league on the penalty kill. What do you think has been the biggest issue with their penalty kill this year?
Well, the penalty kill just seems like it's, like, they – just have a hard time sometimes exiting the zone, and a big reason of that is because they tend to struggle in the defensive zone face-off circle. So it seems like they can never get a quick clear, which is something that they, you know, desperately need to try and do. Or there's been a couple times where they can't get a timely save, and they would go, they go long stretches in the defensive zone, and they tend to spend a little too much time in the defensive zone each time. So some of it's been bad luck too, but I think the Capitals need to be a little bit more aggressive with their penalty kill and potentially even attack more and try and push the puck more up the ice, even shorthanded.
Okay, so also sticking with the defensive side, exceeding most of his stats from last year, Braden Holtby has had a pretty great year so far. What do you see as the biggest turnaround for him to have such a great year in net?
Well, obviously, the big change so far that I've noticed is, when the Capitals brought in Mitch Korn from Nashville, he has a very I don't want to say it's unorthodox, but it's different. It's a unique style of goaltending that he uses for his goaltenders. They highlighted it. If you've seen the Epics Road to the Winter Classic series, they highlighted some of the things that he does in his practices. And you look at it and you're like, wow, this looks really weird, but it actually works. Like he has like a big screen set up, for example, that he uses to blind the goaltender's vision, and then he shoots pucks in from underneath the screen, so it gives the goal. It helps the goalie with the pucks that he does not see. So I think a big part of Holtby's success has been Mitch Korn, as well as the defensive play in front of him. The defensive play this year has been miles ahead of where it was last year, and he's seeing a lot fewer shots coming his way, which I think has helped boost his confidence a bit.
So actually, sticking with the defensive core, like you just mentioned, the Caps made some changes in the blue line in the offseason, acquiring both Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen from the Penguins. What kind of differences, you just talked about a little bit, but what kind of differences have they made since joining the team?
Well, Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen have both added a lot of depth within the organization. The Capitals, unfortunately, have been plagued through a kind of a bad blue line within recent years, but they finally addressed the issue and got two serviceable blue liners that can play in the NHL. Brooks Orpik adds a dimension. He adds leadership. He has a gritty, toughness, old school style of game that he plays. He has a great defensive presence, and he's a voice within the locker room. Matt Niskanen has brought puck mobility to the blue line as well. He has a very good shot that he likes to use. He also has helped out the Capitals' power play be as successful as it's been, too. So Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen have added a lot of depth, and it was something the Capitals have been missing for probably over a decade or so.
All right, so Washington sits above the middle of the pack in goals per game with 2.9. Who are some of the players that you think need to step up offensively in order to increase that number?
Well, the Capitals have had this struggle trying to find the right combination on their second line. So it's been kind of a turning event of who's going to play on that line every night. And that's the line that they really need to try and get going. Some guys that have tried up in the top six, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Brooks Like, Troy Brouwer, those guys have been kind of up and down with their production. Seems like their goal production has come in spurts rather than consistently. So the Capitals kind of need to find that balance within their top six, and they're still trying to find it.
All right, so I want to switch over to the Western Conference and talk Vancouver Canucks. They are certainly having a better year than last year. What do you think is the reasoning for that?
Well, the Vancouver Canucks, obviously, they went through a lot of changes in the offseason, and new GM, new coach, Jim Benning comes in, and Willie DeJardin comes in as coach, and they've really just kind of changed the culture and given a new fresh air about the Canucks. They made some changes in the offseason. Obviously, they traded Ryan Kesler to the Anaheim Ducks. That was their big blockbuster move that they made. They seem like they're playing more together. There's less distractions surrounding the team this year. There's no goalie controversy, which has haunted the team for, it seems like, several seasons now. Obviously, Ryan Miller has been very strong in the net and has been a great signing for the Vancouver Canucks. But the Canucks are just playing more up-tempo this year, and they're getting some secondary contributions from players they did not receive last year. So it's been a total turnaround almost.
Hey, speaking of Ryan Miller, do you think that he's a guy that could lead the Canucks far in the playoffs?
I do believe that Ryan Miller can take the Canucks far in the playoffs. He's been very strong in the net, especially within the past week. He's kept the Canucks in a lot of games that they probably should not have even stolen a point in. Yes, I do believe that Ryan Miller can take the Canucks far. The main concern with the Canucks right now is that their defensive core is a little on the weak end, and they tend to go through spurts of not shooting the puck enough and not scoring enough. So the Canucks have issues right now. They're not involving the goal crease.
Okay. I just want to touch one more time a little bit on the goal crease, though, because in December they had that 5-game losing streak. So do you think that Eddie Locke needs to see a little bit more playing time and give Miller a rest at all?
I believe that Eddie Locke should be used in more situationally, especially like if there's a back-to-back situation, Eddie Locke can step in on either the first game or the second game and play for Ryan Miller. But Ryan Miller is the guy and starting goaltender too. So I see no issue playing Ryan Miller a lot of games, but I do feel that Eddie Locke should get some quality. He should get some starts every once in a while to help take some of the load off of Miller.
Right, previously, before we were talking to you, we were talking about all-star voting. I want to get your opinion on whether you think that there should be more of a strict voting regulations on all-star vote.
I do not believe the fans should be allowed to vote. I've been very against the fan vote from the start because I feel that fans are biased. They look at the game through biased eyes, and they don't make a quality judgment on who should be the All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to change the All-Star voting and stuff like that, I think that the NHL needs to let the writers potentially do the voting. Like, for example, take two writers from each team, have them all get together at some point throughout the season, and they should all be able to vote because they watch all the teams play, they watch all the players play. So they have more of a less biased point of view of the players and who should be considered to be in the game.
Right. I understand your opinion on that. I think that the only problem with that is that I definitely agree that fan voting needs to be way more regulated than it is right now, but the fan interaction that it brings to the sport is really great compared, because hockey, let's face it, in some parts of the U.S. at least, is not as popular as other sports like football. So giving that fan interaction does really help the sport, I think, whether or not it should be allowed at the 10 votes per person per day is, to me, a little bit outrageous. So we're on the same page there.
Right.
One fun segment that we do every week is we talk about our hockey pet peeves. So what would your pet peeve of the week be?
Oh, man. Pet peeve of the week. Of the week? Oh, boy.
or the year.
Kind of hard to think
through.
Of. I can tell you certain other hockey pet peeves just in general if you want to
Yeah,
like
the
defensive delay of game penalty, I don't like it.
Okay.
Or
do you want to elaborate on that one?
I just feel that sometimes players don't intentionally – they try to clear the puck out of the defensive zone. It's an accident, and the puck ends up going over the glass. I just don't feel that all players do it intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And another one I don't like is the shootouts in hockey. I've never been a fan of the shootout.
All right, so there you go. There's two good pet peeves from you.
Yeah.
Those are good ones.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I want to hear actually more about Puck Ramp because I haven't heard much from Puck Ramp in a little bit, I believe. So I want to know what's going on with that and how we can find you for all the listeners, how they can get a hold of you if they want to talk some hockey.
I'm on the website. I'm listed on there. I have a Twitter feed at CanucksFin56. That's another way you can reach me. Or I can send you an email. That's pretty much the way you can reach me on there. But I am on puckrant.com. I do cover the Vancouver Canucks for them. But I do blog work on the Washington Capitals, too.
All right, what are you working on this week?
I'm probably going to work on I guess the upcoming homestand for the Vancouver Canucks, or the current homestand, excuse me. They obviously have some big opponents coming in, so they need to have a successful homestand before they come out. They come out on the road next week, come out this way. They play in Nashville, Philly, Carolina, so they have a big Eastern road trip coming up that they need to do well in. So I'll probably highlight the homestand a little bit right now and the upcoming road trip.
All right, so that sounds good. And with that, we're going to say goodbye and thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
All right, thank you.
Listening to Beyond the Benches radio show.
You were born to be hockey players.
With Melissa Fiore and Tia Priest.
Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back. And before we get started with our next segment, I want to give you the number to call in one more time. It's 646-200-4047. Give us a shout. We love to talk to you. Alonzo, our favorite listener, you can always call in. Feel free. Love to say hi. All right, Melissa, what's on tap next?
All right, so like we have mentioned before, we've been on vacation for the past couple weeks, well, Christmas, New Year's vacation. So we've had plenty of time to put together some pet peeves. First up, I want to start out with blatant calls being missed in the ice. And for an example, a couple of weeks ago, the Bruins were playing the Winnipeg Jets, and a puck had gotten tipped out of play, came back onto the ice, and the Jets ended up going down to the other end of the ice and scoring. It was pretty blatant when you looked at the replays, and I obviously am watching the Bruins feed, so they showed it plenty of times. But it was pretty blatant that the puck went out of play, and so play obviously should be stopped dead then, and it wasn't. And then, of course, that led to things, you know, going against the Bruins in that aspect. But it never got reviewed. It never, you know, never went to Toronto, and it was kind of a big controversy at the time because, well, first of all, the Bruins commentator, Jack Edwards, I do not like at all. I don't like his style of commentating. I don't like, it's kind of petty. I don't like his laugh. It drives me nuts. I cannot stand listening to him. And he had a whole meltdown on air, like blood pressure through the roof. He ended up talking about it a couple games later, but he went nutso on the fact that it didn't get to go to Toronto, it wasn't reviewed, and the whole nine. So my pet peeve, first pet peeve, is blatant calls like that being missed in the ice. What do you think?
Surprised to hear you critique somebody's laugh so strongly.
Oh, my
gosh. That is my first thought.
He drives me nuts. His laugh is so creepy. It is like the creepiest little hee. It's so
all right,
bad.
Well, you know, one of my resolutions was to be nicer to strangers. That was, you know, we're on this whole nice kick right now.
It's not like I'm saying it to him. I'm just saying it about him, so.
I understand that, but you still are on air, thank you.
Good point.
Right. So, besides that, which, you know, I never heard you critique somebody's laugh before like that, I do understand why that would be a pet peeve for you. So, that's it. That's your good one. What's next?
All right. So, the next one is, I'm sure a lot of people throughout the hockey world can agree with, and it's not an action or anything like that. It's a person, and that person is John Scott. John Scott, once again, at the end of December, was suspended for 4 games for giving a sucker punch to Jackman of the Anaheim Ducks during play around the net. John Scott has been involved in so many altercations and suspensions and just everything. And, you know, he scores like maybe 1 goal a year. And he is just not a good, he needs to not be in the NHL anymore. That's my opinion. I just don't think that you can keep getting away with these kind of things and continue to play in the league.
All right, so I have a pet peeve with your pet peeve right now. Because I don't feel like, this is why, I feel like your pet peeve is more not necessarily about him in general, but his style of play, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. Okay. But I just want to throw back to yesterday when my mother and I were watching a hockey game. And at the time, the team we were cheering for was losing. And my mother, she frankly just goes, you know, that was me right now. I just slap him over the head with a stick. Now, my response, me too, Mom, but that's why I don't play hockey. So my whole point with this is that hockey players are not babies. They know what they're getting into. I feel like this is one of the only sports where fighting is actually part of the game. I know boxing.
I think it is the only, well, yeah. Okay, boxing,
because you're, you know, actually fighting and wrestling, but it's kind of fake. So wrestling and boxing aside, this is the only team sport, unless there's some sort of weird team boxing sport, I don't know, though, that fighting is actually allowed. Yes, I understand you may get a misconduct and you might get a fighting major and all these different things, but they're not babies. They're not soccer players. And I'm sorry to all the soccer players out there. But I don't really have a problem with this. And that's why.
So
because if my mother
was fighting... that was a great comment from your mom, by the way. Love that.
I know.
I don't have a problem with fighting in the least. Obviously, I think when there's fighting, that's not appropriate. Like, we've talked about before, but in this certain case, it's not just fighting. It's him throwing a sucker punch at an unsuspecting player. Unnecessary. Targeting the head on any kind of hit. Like, I know that John Scott is a big man, but you need to be aware of that. You are aware of your body and its limbs and what they're going to do. So when your elbow connects to someone's head, that's not okay. And when you are, you know, aiming for someone's head or leaning up into someone's head on, you know, plays that we've seen him make before, that's not okay. And in that aspect, you're still an NHL player. And the NHL player, there's not many of you. Yeah, there's a lot of players, but they're in, you know, aspect of how many people there are on this earth. There's not many of you. So you're kind of part of a little clique. And you got to have respect for other players that are on the ice. And the fact that you're going to do things like that shows that you have zero respect for any other player on the ice, because if you did, you wouldn't be doing things like that. That's my opinion.
All right. I think that we will just have to disagree on this. That's the issue. That's
all right.
That happens. Do you have another one?
I don't have any more, but I want to hear what your pet peeves are this week.
All right, besides me having a pet peeve with your pet peeve, I'm sure my mother would have a pet peeve with your pet peeve. My pet peeve of the week is actually people who are not dressed who don't work during the game. And by that mean, like, so say a player's a scratch for the night and they're supposed to be watching the game to take in the game. And those who are not doing so, I feel like that is a huge, like, red flag to me and a huge issue of respect for their teammates. And I just have a problem with it.
And we definitely have talked about that before. I am going to agree with that. I think that if you're not dressed, whether you're injured or, you know, just not, you know, a scratch or something along those lines, you shouldn't be, you know, anywhere but the press box with the rest of the team and paying attention to the game.
Exactly. I also have another pet peeve, and I feel like it's kind of along the same line. And it's actually lazy goaltender on the bench. I don't know what it is lately, but really, it's driving me crazy. All these people sitting around and not working during the game. So not only are you not, for the people who aren't dressed who are watching the game, not working, it's the goaltender on the bench thinking he's not going to be put in, who's just wallygagging around, looking around. Why don't you get to work, buddy? You're being paid enough.
What?
Just sit there and be happy and maybe do, like, pay attention. That, to me, is my other pet peeve.
Just pay attention, or should they be, like, taking notes on, like, certain stats?
Okay,
they
I'm not saying
the
they should have a pen and paper. No, like, not a pen and paper. But they shouldn't maybe just be sitting around, like, staring off in space. Like, can't you just at least maybe look at the ice? Maybe look to see what's going on? Not just, oh, let me see today. But, you know, the scoreboard might change.
Yeah.
or whatever else they're looking at. I don't know. I don't care, but I would really like to see them look at the ice. That's my pet peeve.
Okay. I mean, that's definitely a valid pet peeve. So before we move on to another segment, we have a caller on the line. So let's see who this caller is and talk to him.
Yeah,
hi,
hello,
you're on the air
Jim.
With you and Melissa.
Hey, it's Jim from New Jersey. Big fan of the show. Been following you guys for a while. Had a lot of interaction on Twitter. Just want to say keep up the good work and love listening to your show. It's great. That's Sunday night listening.
Awesome. Well, thank you for so much for calling in and tuning in. And while we're on, we want to get your opinion on what your pet peeve of the week would be.
My pet peeve of the week is similar to what yours was. I was at the Devil game last night in against the Flyers, and before I get into that, it was brought me back to old school hockey. There was 4 fights in the game. Didn't usually see that. Haven't seen that in a while in the Devil Flyer game, but that was the first. There was like 2 in the first 3.5 minutes or something like that. It was crazy. And I know Drew didn't play in the game, but when I was walking around the concourse, I saw a lot of scratches walking around the concourse during the intermission and during the game as well, because I had to get up and just move my legs and stuff. And they should be paying attention to the game. You're a scratch for a reason. You need to see what's going on during the ice and fix your mistakes.
Yeah, that are definitely and I agree. You shouldn't be just hanging out. You're not just there as a fan to watch the game. You're a player that's getting paid a pretty nice paycheck to play the game of hockey. So definitely agree with that. All right, so we go right ahead.
Yeah, just in regards to the Winter Classic, I know you guys covered it, but you know, I've been talking to a lot of friends and people that are covering the game, and you know, the ratings were low this year, and obviously, you know, it had something to do with like college football coming back. But any suggestions to fix the ratings? I've heard change the date. You know, maybe get different teams. It just seems like there was no interest or buzz this year for the game. Maybe that's just, I don't know if it's the NHL's fault for not promoting it. I know I saw a lot of promos, but just didn't seem to have the buzz that the other games had.
Yeah, I think that in regards to that, I think we need to start seeing different teams play in the Winter Classic. It kind of has been just a rotation of the same teams. Obviously, you know, the Blackhawks didn't play in the Winter Classic last year, but they played in an outdoor game, so kind of the same sense. But I think because we're seeing so many of the same teams, it's getting a little repetitive and people don't really, you know, obviously the fans of those teams love it because they get to see their team on the big stage and, you know, take part in this whole big event. But I think if we start seeing teams that are a little different than we normally see on there, maybe those ratings will start going through the roof. Jim, thank you so much for calling in. We definitely appreciate you tuning in and giving us a call. And we have to move on, but have a great night.
You too.
All right. So we are going to take another quick break and be right back.
Beyond the Benches Radio Show.
Juicy Scores!
With Melissa Fiore and Tia Priest.
That's going wild!
Scores!
All right, so welcome back, and thank you again to Jim for calling in. We love having some guests on, and next we are going to get our next guest, but really he's part of the show. So James is on the line now, so we can get started with his segment. What's going on, James?
Hey, how you doing?
Just lovely. Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you. Same to both of you. I've been listening in. Sounds like a good show so far. Let's hope my segment adds on to it.
Of course, as always.
As opposed to the other way, yeah.
All right, so let's get right into it. And first up, let's find out who is down in the dumps and not on the hot list this week.
All right, well, yeah, this actually wasn't a tough week because there's a couple players that are standing out as people that are really gone cold in the league. And first up, we have Michael Reiter, the New Jersey Devils, and he's right wing. And it's really hard to say that things are going well for anybody in New Jersey right now, but Reiter is certainly somebody who's struggling. Right now, he just ended a career-long 21-game goal drought. He scored a goal against Montreal in a losing effort last week, but it's just really tough in New Jersey, especially when it comes to offense. And Reiter's somebody that was brought in a few years ago to be a player that you can count on for 20, 25 goals per year, and he just goes into these droughts where it's like he doesn't score for 15, 20 games. This happened last year, and right now he's just somebody that they really can't count on to score goals. I mean, he did score a goal this week, but, you know, it was his first goal in 21 games, and, you know, that's not good enough, and he knows that too. But we'll see if there's any change coming up, because Adam Oates is now coaching the offense with the Devils, and change was needed in New Jersey to get the offense and pretty much everything in moving in a different direction. So we'll see if that can get Michael Reiter off that kind of hot seat.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little surprised that I didn't know that it had been 21 games that he had gone without having a goal, but, you know, he is someone in the past that, has he ever had a 30-goal season? I feel like he's definitely had at least a 20-goal season.
Yeah, he had three 30-goal seasons. He scored 20-plus goals 5 times, and it's just ever since coming to New Jersey, it's just there's been that extreme drop-off in production.
This is his second stint with Jersey, too, isn't it?
Who?
Isn't this his second stint with New Jersey?
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is his... No, not his second stint. This is his second season with New Jersey.
Why did I think... Or maybe it was Montreal that he played for multiple different times.
He had 2 stints in Montreal. And then coming
here
last season, had under 20 goals in this season. He only has 5 goals and 10 assists, and, you know, for a top 6 forward, you know, you have less than 20 points halfway through the season. That's not good.
Yep, so he definitely earned his right on the not hot list. So let's find out who is next up.
I actually feel bad putting him on the list because I've met him a couple times and I really like him, but Jeff Skinner, he's struggling offensively this year as well with 8 goals and 8 assists. 16 points through 33 games. And for Jeff Skinner, I don't really know if this is a problem with him or if this is just because Carolina is such a bad team this year and they're struggling so much that it's just affecting everybody. But Skinner, he missed a portion at the beginning of the season with a concussion, and recently he missed a game with, you know, the dreaded flu-like symptoms, and we all know what that means, or at least, you know, we hope what it doesn't mean. to the monks. But, you know, even with the missed time, Skinner, he's a pure goal scorer. He's a natural goal scorer. And, you know, I've talked to him recently after a game in New Jersey, and, you know, he told me that nobody's happy with the way things have gone this season in Carolina, but it's just one of those seasons where you got to put your head down and keep moving. But, you know, 8 goals for somebody that's capable of 30, 35 goals, you know, it's not good, especially on a team that struggles like Carolina.
I really feel like he hasn't had, what was he, 2010 Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like since that season, I mean, he had a great rookie season, but hasn't really had a production since then.
Yeah, and that rookie season was when Carolina made that deep run in the playoffs, and they lost to Boston, I think, in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so when he's playing with good players and players that produce, he plays well. You know, he won the Calder Trophy, that season. Mm-hmm. And it's just since then, you know, he's had some concussions, but I don't really think that's what's holding him back. I think it's just playing on a team that just doesn't have a lot of, you know, talent besides Eric Staal and Yuri Tulusti. There's not really that much to work with down there.
All right, and who is rounding out the not hot list this week?
Neil Yakupov. And, you know, some weeks I feel like I'm picking on Edmonton, but, you know, they're just another one of those teams that is just having offensive problems at every front. You know, and Neil Yakupov, he's a former first-round pick, and he's still finding his way in the NHL, like pretty much every player on the Edmonton Oilers is doing. But this is Yakupov's third season. So, you know, crediting his slumps to youth, you know, it's starting to get old. Right now he has 4 goals and 5 assists through 39 games. And, you know, that's not good enough for Yakupov, who is one of those franchise-saving players. There's about 5 of them on this Edmonton roster, but it's not happening. And Yakupov hasn't scored a goal since December 9th, and this is a player that scored over 100 points in juniors before. And, yeah, he's just not getting it done either. I mean, 4 points, 4 goals for somebody who is supposed to be a natural goal scorer is a problem, even when you're playing for a team like Edmonton.
Yeah, I don't think that I feel like Edmonton may make some moves. Obviously, there's been trade rumors going on and on for the past few weeks with them, but I feel like Yakupov might be, I mean, I don't want to say he needs it, but I think that he'll be one of the ones that they'll be quicker to trade rather than any of the others.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's been rumors around Yakupov pretty much his whole time in Edmonton, and same with some of the other younger guys like Eberle. I think Hall is pretty much the only player that's untouchable, but, you know, part of this problem, I think, is just the culture that's in Edmonton, where they don't allow players to produce in the minor leagues. It's just, you know, they get drafted and immediately they're playing in a top line role in the NHL with men. And, you know, with respect to young players, you know, there's maybe 10 out of every 100 first round draft picks that are NHL ready right out of the gate. And, you know, Edmonton thinks that every first round draft pick they have is NHL ready, which clearly isn't the case.
All right, James, so before we talk about the hot list, I actually want to know one of your New Year's resolutions, because we talked about this at the beginning of the show.
let's see. I didn't make any. I don't know if that means that I'm bad or good.
You got me, too.
You didn't make any?
No.
I have, like, 5. All right.
yeah, no, I didn't make any. I guess I'm trying to think of one now. I don't know.
Right,
I'm pretty, I'm a solid person all around. There's not that much I need to work on.
Whoa,
wow.
Maybe a confidence issue.
Yeah, maybe my confidence. Maybe that's something I need to work on.
That might, okay, well, maybe you can try and think of one for next week.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. And then I also want to know if you think that there should be stronger regulations on fan voting for the All-Star game.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, the voting is limited. I mean, I guess if someone wants to sit around and vote for the same people over and over again, I mean, that's kind of a big waste of time to me. But, yeah, it's boring. I'm happy that Zemgus Girgensons got into it because he is a good player, and you know, everybody looks at Chicago, which I think is pretty boring. I mean, I'm tired of as a fan of the game, you know, there's 30 teams in the league, and, you know, sometimes when I'm watching national broadcasts and hearing about the game on TV and the radio, it sounds like Chicago is the only team in the league. So maybe, you know, get more than one team involved with the All-Star voting. That would be kind of more exciting than just seeing, you know, Girgensons and four Blackhawks.
All right, so I definitely do agree with that. And so I want to know who's keeping it spicy this week. Let's count them down. Who's number three?
Oh, okay. Ryan Miller, actually, of the Vancouver Canucks, and our guest George talked about this earlier. He's playing great this week. He's on fire. He's right now, let's see, he's pretty hot right now. His recent play has been very impressive. I watched the game against Vancouver, or against Los Angeles this week, and he really stood on his head. Even though they lost the game, he made about 40 saves, really just kept the team in the game, and they could have been blown out by 6 or 7 goals. And what's really impressive is that he has a 0.946 save percentage in his last 5 games, which is stellar for any goaltender. And he's on pace for 50 wins this season.
All right, I want to ask you the same question that we asked our guest this week. Do you think that he should sit a little bit more and give Lack a chance?
I think Miller's still at the age and athletic ability where he's capable of playing about 65 games. But kind of the same thing with what George said. If it's back-to-back, there's no reason not to go to Eddie Lack. He's one of the more capable backups in the NHL. So, you know, I think Miller's the number one guy for sure, but when he needs rest, you know, the coach should have confidence in Eddie Lack.
All right, so let's move on to number two.
Oh, Johnny Hockey. I love that nickname. That's the coolest nickname.
Me too.
Any player. Yeah, Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau, the left wing of the Calgary Flames. And you know what? I think he's more deserving of that nickname than, like, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, just because he's performing. He's a young guy. He's only 21 years old, but, you know, former Boston College guy and New Jersey native, which I like, being from New Jersey. He was Rookie of the Month for December for the NHL, and he has 13 goals, 18 assists, 31 points. And he got his first career hat trick against the Los Angeles Kings in December. And he's just a great player. I mean, a lot of people talk about his size because he's a really skinny guy. He's 150 pounds. But he can move the puck. I mean, you know, as long as he can stay away from injury his first couple of years, the size will come when he gets, you know, physically more mature. He's going to put on weight. It's not like he's going to be 150 pounds when he's 35 years old. But he just has great hands. He's a good skater. And, you know, he's only trailing Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators in rookie scoring. So he's right up there as you know, top young players in the game right now.
All right. All good reasons for Johnny Hockey. So who comes in at the number one hot jalapeno this week?
Oh, numero uno, Carey Price, the Montreal Canadiens. He just recorded his 200th win for the Habs when they beat the Devils this week. And just like Ryan Miller, he's been hot with the Canadiens' six-game win streak. And he's also on pace for 50 wins this season. He has 21 wins, second in the NHL, I think, behind Pekka. And over the past 5 games, he has a 1.2 goals against. And, you know, I think he's the most important player that Montreal has. I mean, he's entering his prime at the age of 27. Last season, you know, he won Olympic gold with Canada and took Montreal to the Eastern Conference Finals. And he's a top five goalie in the league for sure. And plus he knows, you know, he has confidence in himself right now. He knows that he's one of the top goalies. And, you know, take it back to last season to the Eastern Conference Finals. Who knows what would have happened if he didn't go down with that knee injury and miss the whole series. I mean, not to take anything away from Dustin Tokarski, but, you know, if you had Carey Price in the net, maybe it would have been Kings Canadians in the Stanley Cup Final instead.
Hey, that's a great point to make, and I think we definitely would have seen the Canadians moving on compared to them where they ended up with Tokarski in net. But it's New Year, and he's doing pretty good. All right, so it's been a couple weeks, and we're going to do some predictions. Last time we did predictions was like 3 weeks ago. I think 3 weeks ago. Yeah. So, James, you're not doing too hot because I checked back on predictions today, and I think you went back-to-back weeks going over.
No. Maybe that's my New Year's resolution. There it is, to start winning more.
All right, so starting off fresh in the new year, we're going to our first highlighted game of the week is when the Tampa Bay Lightning are taking on the Montreal Canadiens this coming Tuesday. Both teams are at the top of the standings, but just like James was talking about with Carey Price and that, it's kind of hard to go against the Canadiens who have won six straight. So as much as my Bruins family is probably going to hate me for saying it, I'm going to go with Canadians. Tia, who you got?
Since I am not a Canadians fan, and I am Canadian, but not the same type of Canadian as the Canadians because they're French, and typically French people don't get along with English Canadians, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I understand that's not really the greatest way to come up with my prediction, but that's how I'm doing it.
What happened? Didn't we just talk about how I was getting on Jack Edwards and that was the resolution, is to be nicer to people? Isn't that kind of the same thing?
No. You said you were making fun of his laugh, and I said I would be nicer to strangers, not nicer to French Canadians.
Oh, big difference, big difference. All right, James, who do you have for our pick this week?
I don't know. I mean, I think now, because I'm, like, losing in this, I want to be right all the time, but I'm going to go. I got to go Canadians. I saw them play this week. They're so good.
Disappointed in you, James.
I'm sorry.
All right, so on Thursday, we see a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup Finals when the Rangers take on the LA Kings. James, who do you got?
Kings. Going to be Kings, yeah. Jonathan Quick, he's got to step up this game, and I think he's going to do it.
Melissa?
I'm going with the Rangers. The Kings have been pretty up and down lately this season. The Rangers have been pretty well faring against Western Conference teams, so I'm going with the Rangers.
All right, I'm going to take the Kings on this, one.
Okay. All right, so last up we have the Dallas Stars taking on the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday afternoon. And I would really like to go with Colorado because I am somewhat of a closeted Avalanche fan, but it's kind of hard to go against top scorer Tyler Seguin and the Stars, so I'm going with Dallas. Tia, who you have?
Well, I've been following a lot of the Stars action lately, and with all the moves on their defense line, I'm not too sure how they're going to do because they've been sending guys up and down. That's their plan to, from the Texas Stars to the Dallas Stars all the time. I feel like that's going to create a lot of travel problems with their defense. I just feel like they might be tired. This is how my brain works. So I'm going to go with the Avalanche.
James?
See, that's how I feel about the Avalanche defense. I don't know
really?
About Colorado defense against you know, with Dallas with Tyler Seguin and Spezza and Jamie Benn. So I'm going the other way around because of the Avalanche defense. and I'm going to say Dallas.
All right.
All righty. Well, predictions are in. Good luck to you, James, for trying to turn your predictions around. Hopefully you can get back in the win column.
Yeah, no more goose egg.
Yeah. 2 weeks in a row. That's, like, shocking. Yeah. All right, so right before we wrap up, I do have to mention, because I talked about it a bunch of times on air, I had a bet going with one of the kids that I work with on the Bruins-Penguins game. He finally paid up, and if you haven't seen it, go on our website and check out Fan of the Week, Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
He finally paid up. He finally paid up on his bet, and there's a lovely picture of him in a perfect Penguins jersey, and he looks so happy to be in it. So if you haven't checked that out already, definitely do that. And I feel like I'm sure there's some other bet coming because the Bruins and Penguins are playing again this week. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's all I got. James, thank you for joining us and shedding light on some hots and nots this week and getting predictions, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you soon. Enjoy.
Bye.
Thank you. Wow, this is like the first week I feel like we've had time to stare at the end. That's kind of shocking.
I know. But that's all right. We can wrap a little early. I know I want to thank you for putting in all your hard work on the show this week. And I want to thank Jen for calling in. And I want to thank our guests for talking about Puck Friends. I feel like we need to talk to more Puck Friend people all the time, George.
I know. We'll have to try and get some more people on.
Yeah, they have a lot going on over there. And I always like hearing from James and his hot jalapeno list. So everything over there.
And thank you. And finally, I'm so glad that you're back and healthy and my co-host again. And no more pneumonia. And I think you need to stay away from cold weather for a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we are going to wrap up and go Team Canada, right?
Yes, 8:00. Here we go.
I will definitely be watching, and thank you everyone for tuning in. And like you said, thank you for all our callers and guests. And we are going to see you next week.
Bye.
Beyond the Benches radio show is the sole property of BeyondTheBenches.com. Any reproduction in whole or part is strictly forbidden without the written consent from the show's owners. For more information or for sponsorship opportunities, please go to www.BeyondTheBenches.com.